Palestinian people, not only inside Palestine, but also in the diaspora and in refugee camps everywhere. So today we will be focusing on the Palestinian woman in the struggle, and especially the Palestinian women prisoners and the Palestinian prisoners in general. The struggle of Palestinian women, as Leila mentioned, has started since the start of the occupation in 1948 with Zahra al-Okhwan and Rashida and Mahiba Khurshid, as Leila mentioned. And Palestine since then has always witnessed a strong female participation in the struggle, from Dalal Mughrabi to Shadi Abu Ghazala, to Raja Abu Amasha, Leila Khalid, Maha Nassar, and today we have Khitam Saafin, Khalid Jarrar, Wadad Barghouthi, and our female student prisoner who was just released, Mais Abu Ghosh. The history is full of names. The present is full of female leader names who has always been fighting for Palestine. So women have participated in the action in the 60s and the 70s up until the first Intifada. And then we went to Oslo and Madrid and Oslo Bath, that has produced the role of women, the role played by women. The role played by women was major because they didn't only play a main role in the struggle, but also women have played a main role in organizing for social, cultural, and economic work that sustained the resistance and sustained the Palestinian resistance and protected it. So with that being said, organizing the work was very important because women took the literacy of children, the literacy of and the literacy teaching was main part of their work, sustaining the social work and economic work, nursing were roles played by women during throughout all that period. So one example of the organizations we're going to be talking about today, one example of the organized work that women started and the union work that women were focusing on and we're going to be focusing on today is the Union of Palestinian Women's Committee, UBWC, that Khitam Saafin is leading. Khitam is the female prisoners that we're going to be focusing on today. Okay, so the union was established in 1980 and holding progressive ideas, anti-imperial ideas against the imperialism and in defending Palestine. The union has been carrying progressive ideas and always fought for building a democratic, progressive community that fights against discrimination and for equality of women. So since its establishment, the union has played a major role in the Palestinian matters, from economic empowerment for women to work with youth, children programs, as well as they took a very clear political perspective toward the Palestinian rights. Khitam Saafin has been leading this union since 2010. Khitam is a Palestinian feminist and women organizer. She has been very active since her years in high school. Khitam has joined all the demonstrations for Palestinian rights, for Palestinian prisoners. She played a huge role in teaching and in literacy teaching in different villages in Palestine. And until today, Khitam is very well known in all the streets of Palestine. This is how we introduce Khitam. She has played an influential role for all the female leaders and created a base for the union work here in Palestine since 2010 until now. We're talking about Khitam today because all the families of prisoners, all the families of merchants knows Khitam. She has been participating in all demonstrations for Palestinian prisoners. The streets knows her very well. She was one of the prominent voluntary leaders in the streets and in everywhere in Palestine here. So Khitam's role is not a small role. Here we're talking about a leader who has been on the streets since ever and who never ever left the streets. This is not her first imprisonment. This is the second time Khitam is detained under administrative detention, where she has, there's no charges against her. She didn't have any trials. They just have a secret file against Khitam. That's why she's being put in the prison without any charges or any rights. A small fact about her and her union work. The union has refused the Europe Union new conditions on fund. So she has refused this conditional fund, and therefore the union has been suffering financially. So she agreed with the girls and the female workers with her in the union to split their salaries in order for the union to continue working. So this is one example of the way Khitam rolls and works. And her administrative role she's been playing. Her first imprisonment was in 2017. Also, she was under administrative detention. She's being held under administrative detention this time as well for 6 months. Of course, it's renewable 6 months. So we're going to see what's going to happen in the future. As for the Palestinian prisoners, Khitam and Khalida Jarrar and 39 other female prisoners, so we have 41 female prisoners inside the prisons now. Since September, these prisoners have been facing a hard situation inside the Zionist prisons due to coronavirus and all the new action being taken by the Zionist administration in the prisons. Khalida Jarrar spoke to her lawyers last month, and she explained a little about the situation that that the women prisoners are facing inside the prisons. According to Khalida, she has informed us that the prisoners, the female prisoners, are returning meals against the Zionist administration's actions against the prisoners. The women prisoners were confiscating from their clothes and belongings. So they're facing repression inside the prisons because they're fighting for better conditions. They took all their education materials. Since they started a new program inside the prison, which is to teach higher education inside the prison, because There's a large number of female prisoners now. So the administration of the prisons, the Zionist administrations, has confiscated all the materials they have been using for teaching. They also have threatened the female prisoners with solitary confinement, and actually sent some of the prisoners to solitary confinement for a few weeks. Now we have student female prisoners inside the prisons. We have Shada Tawil, Ilya, Layan Kayed, Ruba, and also Yasmin, and many, many other prisoners who are student and been denied and have been denied their education. They are now inside the prison waiting for their trials. Khalida Jarrar has been in prison since October 31st in 2019, and she hasn't been ongoing trial until now. So this is mainly the situation that is facing the prisoners in the prisons right now. They're trying to fight to gain some of their rights, because all the rights they have asked for in the strike, in the hunger strike that the prisoners held in 2017, were denied from them. They don't have phones, they don't have access to any human materials inside the prisons. And since Corona started, the Palestinian prisoners were facing a very hard situation, since the administration has took all the cleaning materials from the prison. They have limited their access to food supplies and cleaning supplies that would support them to survive Corona. We have more than 100 prisoners now infected with Corona, with COVID-19. There's no health care. They're neglecting the health care on purpose for the prisoners. the murders of the prison inside the prisons have reached 225 prisoners, and the number is going to be increasing if this situation continues. So these are some of the conditions that the prisoners are facing inside the prison, and especially the female prisoners are being denied from their main human rights and their main needs inside the prisons. What we need to do today is to take a stand against all that's happening to all the Palestinian prisoners, with more than 4,500 prisoners, with more than 400 prisoners under administrative detention, 180 child inside the prisons, and hundreds of students, college students inside the prisons, 41 female prisoners, and the number is increasing every single day. So we need to take a stand, international stand, against what's happening inside the Zionist prisons. We need to fight for their rights and their freedom. So all the prisoners are asking for is freedom. And as in Samson, we always say that the real leaders of Palestine are the ones who are imprisoned by the Zionists. We need to defend them and fight for their right. So this is mainly what's happening inside the Palestinian prison. This is mainly what Khitam is facing. Khitam is a prominent leader. She's a role model to all the female fighters here in Palestine and elsewhere. And her freedom is a must. And we have to all take a position for her freedom and to fight for her freedom with all the other prisoners. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much, Adil, for that really insightful and extensive presentation on Khitam and the significance of her arrest and her leadership and the modeling of resistance from her and all of the prisoners in Palestine. And I think, it was a really, really insightful presentation. And I think one of the hugely important points that you brought up is the EU policies. And I think this really is for us to, in Europe, to really address and take on that it is EU policies that are placing Palestinian women in prison, and that we are in Europe, and this is something that we can raise and fight against, that these policies should not exist in the first place. And also, just the this campaign is called Women on the Frontlines of Resistance, because political prisoners really lead us in resistance, and they model to us what everyday resistance should look like, and we have our freedom, so we can always be doing more for the political prisoners in Palestine and across the globe. We're going to move on to our questions and answers section now. Charlotte, did you want to add in any more comments here before we move into questions and answers?
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to a fruitful discussion in questions and answers. Before we do move on directly, I do want to encourage people to visit the websites of the organizations, which have been posted in the chat. There have been a number of links and resources that are posted in the chat. And we do want to let people know that the video will remain permanently on Facebook. We will also be posting it to YouTube. We will be posting it on our websites. So it will remain available. And we encourage you to share it with others who are interested in learning more about the struggle of Palestinian prisoners, and particularly in this case of Palestinian women, after this event by sharing it there, and also to, as everyone emphasized, to get involved in campaigns. And these include, for example, the campaign to boycott Israel, the campaign to boycott corporations that are complicit, and the campaign to hold our governments accountable for their ongoing support for Israeli war crimes and crimes against humanity, including those crimes directed against the Palestinian people and against the Palestinian prisoners. If we look at the United States, we see that the U.S. provides $3.8 billion a year in aid to the Israeli state. We see corporations like Puma or HP, you know, sponsoring the Israel Football Association, including teams in illegal settlements, at the same time that Palestinian footballers are being locked up and thrown inside Israeli prisons. We see companies like HP selling security technology to the Zionist state in order to better categorize and more sharply and specifically and precisely repress Palestinian political prisoners and keep track of Palestinians wherever they are. So just like we see these very large corporations in many ways really reflect the way in which the global ruling class and capitalism is directly implicated in the violence of Zionism and, of course, the violence of imperialism. And there are many wonderful campaigns to become a part of, to get involved with IWA, to get involved with Samidun, to get involved with Al-Karama, to get involved with many great boycott campaigns. One of the comrades attending this event has placed the campaign to stop the JNF, the Jewish National Fund, in the chat. And this is a really important campaign to stop support for an organization that is directly implicated in the historical and ongoing Nakba against the Palestinian people. So with that being said, I wanted to note that we do have with us a scholar who has actually done an amazing amount to document and highlight the struggle of Palestinian women and of Palestinian women political prisoners in general. If you have not yet seen or read the book in English, Captive Revolution, by Dr. Nahla Abdo, I want to highly recommend it. I'll put a link in the chat for people. And Nahla has joined our webinar today, so we'd like to ask her if she would like to make any comments as before we continue with the questions and answers.
Thank you, Charlotte. Hi, everybody. And thank you, all the beautiful women here, this young, amazing young generation. Well, speaking that means that I belong to the older generation. So hearing all of you actually, and the information and the level of intellectualism that you all have and administer in presenting the case of Palestinian political detainees. And let me use the term detainees instead of prisoners, as this is the kind of term that, you know, the women themselves actually choose to represent themselves with. This was part of the research that I did with several women, actually 20 some women who experienced political detention and were there for some of them several years actually, and came out. There isn't much that I would like to add other than historically, you all remember that Palestinians who entered Israeli and Palestinians mainly, but not only, by the way, mainly from the West Bank and Gaza Strip, that is occupied Palestine 1967, but also occupied Palestine 1948. Palestinians who have joined, you know, the struggle and became political detainees since 1967 amounted to close to 100,000. So that number is probably unparalleled considering the Palestinian demography. Palestinian women who have been political prisoners since 1967 have also approximately came to between 8 and 10,000 Palestinian women in Israeli political detention. That tells a lot, but this is, you know, this information is until actually until the first intifada, you know, first intifada. After that, somehow we stopped counting. You know, when you have reached that high level of detention, you stop doing the quantitative and you begin to do the qualitative. And the qualitative, as many of you have pointed out, is how these women, the conditions under which these women have been facing. And one of the new, and this is what I've been, you know, I just recently wrote something about this. One of the recent techniques of torture that the settler colonial state of Israel, or the Zionist state, has been using is what you probably have heard, something called the Bosta. Bosta is that, you know, iron jeep that they put, you know, detainees inside and transfer them, move them from one place to another, or from the prison to hospital or to the court or etc. The idea is not, you know, to move them from one specific place to another one, but rather to take a tour with them. In other words, to bring them into that vehicle for a longer period of time as a mode of torture. And this is something that, you know, was not there before the 80s or before the 90s. This is one of the new techniques of torture used. One technique that continued, actually, one technique of torture used by the state that you know, was repeatedly used is the one of invading homes almost always after midnight or in the early hours of the morning. Why? You all know, because this is one way of terrifying people while they are asleep, especially families with little children. And that is, you know, a technique that, you know, again, the settler colonial state in the way of not just marginalizing, but marginalizing and erasing, if possible, you know, Palestinian unity, Palestinian family, any kind of social cohesion within this nation, in a way to, you know, destroy this, to break this. This is one mode of torture that they have been using for both men and women. You know, in this state, actually, the settler colonial Israel, there is no sanctity for anything, especially not for women. As you know, modes of torture in Israeli prisons have included everything from physical torture to sexual torture to, you know, mental, psychological, just name it, it was there and continues to be there. So we are dealing with a state that does not, cannot be beholden to any international law or any humanitarian law or any, you know, a human right, especially when it comes to indigenous Palestinians within that state. So we are in a situation where panels like these, webinars like these, discussions like these become extremely important, especially when they join hands with other organizations. The IWA is an important organization here. And I'm really happy to see this kind of, if you want, international solidarity. Even if it is not international in terms of other languages, cultures, etc., it is definitely international in terms of at least connecting Palestinians, you know, from Spain to Canada to the US to Europe to Latin America, Asia, etc. These are very important forms of solidarity that we need. And this is what we need right now, actually, in order to bring out the voice of Palestinian women. I was listening the other day to the letter that Khalida Jarrar sent out of her cell to, you know, Palestine rights. It was, you know, extremely impressive. Just the fact that, you know, to learn that, you know, women, even inside the cell, even inside, you know, a prison, inside this detention camp, continue to produce, continue to voice their, you know, their words, to continue to show the world that their struggle does not end when they are, you know, in prison. Remember being, you know, living in Gaza, living in the West Bank, more so in Gaza, is living in a prison, except that it's an open air prison. The difference is that the you know, the actual prison is closed air, and they only get the air when they go to the fora, and even then they are, you know, harassed by the guards there. I encourage you. I'm sorry the book is not in Arabic. It would be great if it gets translated into Arabic, but I encourage you to read it, because it talks about, in the voice of the women themselves, it reproduces their stories, it reproduces their experiences, and it says what they want to be said, and it also lets out their feelings and their, you know, their struggles. And it's, you know, amazing. Not that the book is amazing, but their voices are amazing. Their struggles are amazing. And, you know, the book details all of these, you know, different voices of women who have experienced prisons. And, you know, you will find something fascinating there. For example, there are several women who were charged. This is how they put it. One or two life imprisonment plus 10 years. And my point why another 10 years? I mean, one life imprisonment is more than enough. So one and two life imprisonment plus 10 years. At least that was in the case of Aisha and Rasmiye, as you know, is documented actually in the book. But once again, that is the older generation of, you know, women in the occupation or in the settler colonial prisons. Today we have the new generation, and seriously, I am so proud to see that the struggle has never stopped. The struggle continued and continues with a new generation, and a new generation that is connecting again all the lines, connecting Europe with Asia, with, you know, with Palestine diaspora, Palestine 1948, Palestine 1967, Lebanon, Syria, just name it, all of them come together. Now, I know that, you know, Facebook as well as Zoom would try to actually put, if you want, stumbling blocks in front of us, you know, getting together, but we will always have ways of communicating. And I just hope that we guys continue to keep our voices together, keep our hands together, and our solidarity together. I thank you again for this webinar and wish you all the best. Thanks.